Hear the scripture from Psalm 27 as translated by Nancy Merrill. Love is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Love is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When fears assail me, rising up to accuse me, each one in turn shall be seen in love's light. Though a multitude of demons rise up within me, my heart shall not fear. Though doubts and guilt do battle, yet I shall remain confident. One thing I have asked of love that I shall ever seek, that I might dwell in the heart of love all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of my beloved and to know love's plan. For I shall hide in love's heart in the days of trouble, as in a tent in the desert, away from the noise of my fears. And I shall rise above my struggles, my pain, shouting blessings of gratitude in love's heart, and singing melodies of praise to my beloved. Hear, O my beloved, when I cry aloud, be gracious and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart responds, your face, my beloved, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not turn from me, you who have been my refuge. Enfold me in your strong arms, O Blessed One. Though my father and mother may not understand me, you, my beloved, know me and love me. And now a reading from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, go, get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. Jesus said to them, go tell that fox. Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you. How often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, blessings on the one who comes in God's name. So a bit of a situation has developed in my neighborhood over the last several months. During the pandemic, many of us have adopted new pets or become plant parents, but a neighbor of mine decided to raise chickens in her front yard. Now, I don't know how legal that is in the city limits of Chicago, but for the most part, everyone on our block thought this was a good idea, especially if it meant access to free and fresh eggs. We thought it was kind of charming to have a chicken coop in the middle of the city, and every time we'd walk by, as I'd walk my dog or people would walk by to go to school, we'd see how the progress was coming along. There were chicken wire walls so we could see in, a little yard of grass for the chickens to walk and peck around in. And there was even an indoor heated section to keep the chickens warm in the winter. A few weeks ago, our neighbors finally brought their chickens home, and they were named after the Golden Girls, Blanche, Dorothy, Rose, and Sophia. But we all thought what was a cute little chicken coop with darling chickens inside became quickly the most dangerous block in the city of Chicago, because the Golden Girls have become somewhat of a chicken gang, terrorizing all dogs on leashes and small children getting too close to the coop. And it is terrifying. Our dog Zeke tries to avoid this part of the block now after a few close run-ins with those Golden Girls. The first time we came by, he went to sniff the iron fence that was by the coop, and all of a sudden, like this brood of chickens comes rushing the fence with their wings back and their snouts like ready to peck, their talons drawn. I wonder if this is the kind of hen that Jesus was talking about. Fiercely protective, defending its young at all costs, unafraid to take on threats all that she holds dear. For the Golden Girls, it's a pudgy French bulldog named Zeke who is that threat. But for Jesus, It was a sly fox named Herod. Herod and his crew have been seeking to have Jesus threatened, silenced, and even killed for some time. Jesus is stirring up people, organizing them to stand up against tyrants, sheltering them with the love of God and care that God has for all people, and especially the marginalized and oppressed. And this is good news for the chicks that have been hunted by the fox. But Jesus, he isn't naive. He knows what Herod can do. He's seen the power and control in which he's ruled the people with, and he's seen the consequences of ticking him off. Herod was the one who ordered the execution of Jesus' friend and prophet named John the Baptist for criticizing Herod's behavior. Jesus has seen what the Herods before him have been like too. So it's understandable if Jesus wants to take the Pharisees' advice and stand down, but instead Jesus responds as a protective mother hen. Go and tell that fox. Tell that tricky old coward that I will be busy healing and setting things right until God determines otherwise. And nothing a little sneaky fox like yourself can do is going to deter me. Reverend Leah Shade reminds us that what Jesus was doing here was some political smack-talking by not only calling Herod a fox, but also by calling himself a mother hen. She says, "It's not enough that Jesus is saying that all these undesirable individuals should be allowed into God's kingdom. Now Jesus has to go and call himself a mother hen. That's downright offensive. Nobody likes a mother hen. Mother hens are overprotective, interfering, overbearing. They cluck and pick and watch constantly. Nobody likes a mother hen. Unless you are a vulnerable chick in need of protection. Unless all your life you've been deprived of a mother's care. Unless all you've known is the feeling of being abandoned, left to your own devices, stranded to face the fox all by yourself. Then maybe having a mother hen would not be so bad after all." While Jesus is protective and heartsick for the vulnerable chicks, those he gathers under his wings of protection, healing, and solidarity, this is not who Jesus is talking to in this passage. These words of lament are for the city of Jerusalem, for those who have allowed the fox to have that much power to begin with, who believe that the fox is protecting them, but at the expense of the more vulnerable, those whom Jesus calls prophets. You can almost hear Jesus crying, pleading to the people of the city, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you." And while Jesus may cry for Jerusalem today, I can hear him also crying out for other places in our world where the foxes have been on the hunt. Over the last few months, there has been very coordinated legislative violence taken out on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people, especially LGBTQ+ youth. There are 39 states currently that are proposing legislation against transgender and non-binary youth. For example, in Iowa, the state legislature banned transgender women and girls from competing in girls' sports offered by Iowa schools and universities, all in the name of protecting those assigned female at birth from supposed unfair advantages for transgender girls, even though transgender youth will be the ones directly harmed and isolated by this law. In Florida, the state Senate passed legislation also known as the Don't Say Gay Bill, banning public schools from teaching about sexual orientation or gender identity, all in the name of protecting the family unit of father, mother, and two kids. Even though LGBTQ+ youth will no longer have the same kind of safe spaces to explore and express their identities. And in my home state of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott instructed the Department of Family and Protective Services to begin investigating reports of parents and medical providers providing gender-affirming medical care to their children as child abuse. Even though every medical association in the United States has deemed gender-affirming care as necessary and even life-saving to the long-term and physical and mental health of transgender youth. How Jesus longs to gather these vulnerable, marginalized, hunted, prophetic children of God under the wings of protection, care, and love. But as Jesus' words are meant to gather in the chicks under God's wings, Jesus is also at the same time directly calling out those foxes in power who are going in for the kill. For Jesus, it isn't just about protecting the vulnerable, but also naming the violence happening and who is responsible. While the chicks seem to be outnumbered by the fox closing in, Jesus too calls us to join the brood of hens, ready to protect, ready to care, ready to be loud about the injustices that are to be called out. As the Texas executive order against medical care for transgender youth went into place, someone shared with me a video of an author and activist by the name of Tyler Merritt. His words reminded me directly of how Jesus' words may sound like to us of a mother hen protecting her chicks. Words we are clearly called to respond to today. And so I'd like to share this piece from Tyler Merritt with you.
Governor, do you mind if I call you Greg? Cool. Look, you don't know me, and I'm not one to become folks sideways, but coming after our kids, man. Trans kids are our kids. I'm not sure how you grew up, but I'm hoping, I'm praying, actually, that it was in a loving and caring home. Greg, it's just that so many kids don't have that same privilege, and trans kids, statistically, well, it's even worse for them. I'm hopping straight on statistics because it's to my understanding that you're a politician, and so I have no doubt statistics are your jam. Am I right, Greg? Well, research shows that trans youth with supportive families experience a 52% decrease in suicidal thoughts and 46% decrease in suicide attempts. But only 27% of trans youth say their families are very supportive, Greg. Fewer than half, 43%, say they have an adult in their family they could turn to if they felt sad or worried. These are our kids, man. Listen. I can only assume that you are ignorant to some of these facts, Reds. And I don't mean ignorant in the negative sense. I just mean legit. You may have just ignored some things that those of us who are paying attention to our trans kids have known all along. And I feel that I can safely assume, because I did some research on you, man, and it says that you are pro-life. I was so glad to hear that, Greg. So you can see that when I heard about your new order, it confused me because everything I hear about you says that you are pro-life, and this is obviously and blatantly not life given to our kids, Greg. These are our kids, man. I'm sorry. If you're watching this and you aren't quite sure what Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has done, he told state health agencies on Tuesdays that medical treatments provided to transgender adolescents widely considered to be the standard of care in medicine should be classified as child abuse under existing state law. Therefore, choosing to criminalize medical care for transgender youth. Greg, these are our kids, man. I don't even live in Texas, Greg, but I know how this works because I'm black. And history tells me that a move like this isn't an isolated issue, so I figured I'd come to you directly and let you know that it hits different when you come after our kids. Help me to understand, man, how me and Timmy to keep our kids safe affect you and your family. I would never come after your kids, Greg, so why in God's name are you coming after mine? Well, hell now, you done woke us up. You hear that? You hear that sound, Greg? That's the sound of every 18-year-old in Texas Googling what's the fastest way to register to vote. Your outdated, heartless, and dangerous way of thinking is aging out, bro. They're coming for you, man. So are we. Greg, these are our kids. Oh, one more thing, Greg. Look, You may go and Google me after this and try to figure out who I am and find out that I don't have any actual kids of my own. And you're right, bro, you're right. But listen, when grown folks choose to abandon and put the life, well-being, care, and health in danger to a group of children that are doing everything they can just to survive, those are our kids now.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under their wings. These are our kids. And the fox still remains on the hunt. Danger is still present. Now we don't know what happens to the mother hen standing between her chicks and the fox, but maybe we do. As Nadia Bowles Weber writes, a mother hen cannot actually keep a determined fox from killing her chicks. So where does that leave us? I mean, if danger is real and a hen can't actually keep their chicks out of danger, then what good is this image of God as a mother hen if faith in her can't make us safe? Well, today I started to think that maybe it's not safety that keeps us from being afraid. Maybe it's love. Which means that a mother hen of a God doesn't keep foxes from being dangerous. A mother hen of a God keeps foxes from being what determines how we experience the unbelievable, beautiful gift of being alive. God, the mother hen, gathers all of her downy, feathered, vulnerable little ones under God's protective wings so that we know where we belong. Because it is there that we find warmth and shelter. And this is what we are called to, friends, to make the experience of God's protective wings be the norm in which we all are leading our lives by. That being alive is not about who is at the top of the food chain, who has the most power to wield, but being alive is about how we care for one another, how we surround one another with support, how we pull one another close. This Lent, we are focusing on the theme of being filled to the brim, living an expansive life of faith. But Jesus stops us here this morning to remind us that when that isn't the reality for all of creation, a true expansive life is not possible for anyone. When some of us have been made to live in fear, in hiding, in closets, in danger, all of our lives thus become about safety, protection, and fear. When some of us are labeled predators and others of us are prey, we will always be distrustful of one another. Jesus calls us to a new kind of relationship with one another, under the care, love, and support of God's unconditional, radical, and fierce love, making room for all to find their place to belong and know they are God's beloved. I've moved our time for sharing this morning to be a response to the scriptures, to be a response to the words from Tyler, to be the response of the words that I've shared with you this morning. I want to share about an organization in Austin, Texas that I'm familiar with. It's called Out Youth, which is an organization that supports LGBTQ plus youth in the city and the state of Texas. Many times this organization actually becomes the protective wings wrapping love and support around queer youth who are trying to navigate living as themselves in a context that isn't always supportive. So I'd like this morning for us to share our messages of care, our messages of support and love with them and the youth that they serve. They aren't getting a lot of affirming messages sent their way. And so I have cards this morning on the communion table for us to write and send. Maybe we remember that these are our kids too. These are God's beloved children, our kindred, to scoop up and hold close. So as Patrick plays, a ton of instrumental reflection. You're invited to grab as many cards as you'd like to write this morning. There's also some pens as well. And when you're done writing them, just place them back on the communion table, and I will make sure to send them all collectively together. Friends, let us share the ways in which God has called us to be these protective wings of care and love.